Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. This is 2 hours of the business end of show business. And we are live on AM radio. Sam, can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, good. Everything's working. And we're going to talk about the TV's stuff and the movie business, maybe a little Disneyland, and celebrities misbehaving, correct? Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, no, that's usually on the agenda.
Okay. All right. First thing we're going to talk about on today's show is the movies are there's a little dip in the movies. People are thinking because there's a spike in the COVID cases. So some people are just saying, maybe we won't go. Maybe we will stream. And the COVID the new strain seems to be of COVID seems to be highly infectious, more infectious than the one, but less dangerous. Are you hearing the same things I'm hearing?
Kind of, sort of. It seems like the thing that has been coming through is that mostly unvaccinated people have been getting it, and it's still dangerous, but we, you know, still early. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly, definitely mostly unvaccinated, although some vaccinated people get it, but then they are in less danger because their vaccination, from what I'm hearing, helps them to not die. And so there's less, so they seem to be like separating the COVID from death. Like, if you have the vaccination and you get it, you're probably not going to die. If you don't have the vaccination and you get the new strain, it's very easy to get, but it's not as dangerous as the old one. I had a relative that got it, and it was 3 days of virtually nothing, and now she has the antibodies. But I have another friend that got it, a guy that was saying, you know, don't talk to me about the vaccine. I never want to hear it. Don't ask me about it. My body, blah, blah, blah. He's now in a coma. You know, so it's all over the map. So maybe that's a little reason for the dip. But no, so the number one movie is old, M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. Old. I have to say, the worst name of a movie I've ever heard in my life. It's just the worst. And it's I think, wonder if it's someone saying, I'm so invincible, I can call my movie the worst name of a movie ever, and it will still be a success. And you got to think the people at the studio are going, are you kidding? Is that what he wants to call it? Oh, my. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
and it's not like he's done so well that he can, you know, he has carte blanche to go ahead and name a movie that badly. He's been so hit and miss with his movies that, yeah, no, he doesn't have that cachet.
Yeah, and old. I don't want to see a movie called Old. I'm like a consumer that like Don Draper, it has profiled. Yeah, consumers want new. They want new and exciting. They don't want old. I'm that guy. I want new. What is it? So I haven't seen it. I might see it. And then number two from the world of toys, G.I. Joe's Snake Eyes. What do you think of that? Have you seen it? Going to see it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailers. I know there's a little bit of hype about it. But, yeah, I might see it. I probably won't. I did see Black Widow, though.
Oh, what'd you think?
First movie in 18 months, only 8 people in the theater. It was on a Tuesday night, so it was discounted. It was awesome.
Right?
The kids stayed with their mom that night. I went with a buddy of mine, and it was a great movie.
Right? Just a great movie. All the way around. All the way around. Two girls, two of the hottest actresses in the business, fighting it out. And a really good story, really good backstories, good personalities. Just great, great film. There's only one weird part about it. How come when these girls fight, they don't pull each other's hair?
Interesting question.
Right? No one's been pulling each other's hair. I didn't want to spoil that for you last time before you'd seen it, but They don't pull hair, which I'm glad about, because that's the worst part of a girl fight is the pulling of the hair. You want to eliminate that. So they've improved the girl fight. So you have, you know, there's many positive things about Black Widow, especially Florence Pugh. Number three in the box office is a little thing called, I lost my place in my thing. Number three is Black Widow. Tell you what, I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, it is Black Widow. It got $11.6 million. And number four, Space Jam, New Legacy.
Space Jam, yeah. So, number three, Black Widow, Space Jam, and then you get down to the Fast and Furious, Escape Room. That doesn't interest me too much. Boss Baby, I know you like that. Number eight, The Forever Purge. Maybe. Quiet Place, number two. I like The Quiet Place One, but I know what's going to happen, you know, and it gives you a lot of anxiety. So I don't know if I want to get back in there, get back on that horse. Have you seen Pig, the Nicolas Cage movie where he plays a guy with a pig that hunts for truffles?
I have not. That sounds hilarious.
I know. I want to see it. So that's definitely on my watch list. And Zola, if you haven't seen Zola, it's number 15 now, but I saw it in the theaters a couple weeks ago. Morally offensive and not for kids. But it's a good film. It's kind of like a Harmony Korine movie directed by a female. And then what did I see, you ask? Oh, well, I didn't go to the movies, and I just worked all week. But I did watch a classic movie on Criterion called The Grand Illusion. Grand Illusion is... It's one of those movies that you're supposed to watch, pretty long, about World War One, French prisoners in a prisoner of war camp. The Germans are, they're captors. It's a little bit Hogan's Heroes-y. Like, Hogan's Heroes was, you know, World War Two, but this reminded me a lot of Hogan's Heroes, but it's just, you know, it's a big, important film. You got to watch it. 1937. Directed by Jean Renoir, the son of the artist Renoir. I don't know if you know that. A little trivia.
Interesting.
Yes. And so that's it for me
Did
on the
see
movies.
It was
you
number
see
10
anything
right
else?
Now. It was Roadrunner, the film about Anthony Bourdain.
Did you see that?
I haven't seen that, but I just find it fascinating that a documentary is number 10 in the box office. It goes to show just how much people loved Anthony Bourdain, first off. But also, I've just never seen a documentary hit that high.
Yeah, that guy's beloved. And enough time has gone by to where, you know, it's all sunk in. Okay, the man's a legend. Yeah, for me, it'd be hard to watch. I mean, it's hard for me to watch now. Just like I was just upset by his death. And so I don't know if I want to get back into it just so soon. So, I'm not sure.
So, yeah, definitely pull on the heartstrings for me. I'd have a hard time watching that one.
There's a documentary that came out this year on Val Kilmer that is very interesting to me.
I heard about this one.
Yeah, directed by a couple of guys named Ting Poo and Leo Scott. My apologies to Ting Poo if you're a female. But Ting Poo and Leo Scott, and that guy's had a rough ride. So, that's interesting. Now, where do you see that one? Well, how do you find movies? How do you find where movies are playing? If someone like me just tells you about a movie, where do you go? Well, I'll tell you where you go. You go to my good old friend, JustWatch.com. Go to, like, right now, I'm going to do it in real time. You go to Just Watch, and I'm going to go Val. The movie is called Val, and I put it in there. Click the button. Where do you watch Val? And it says you can watch it on Prime Video. I think you have to pay, but it's on Prime Video. So there it is. my movie advice for the week. Any movies coming out soon you're excited about?
Not so much, really. I feel like all of the big summer blockbusters have popped out. At this point, I'm waiting for the next line of the Marvel stuff that's coming out. But Black Widow was outstanding. And what Loki did during the series opened the door for so much going forward that I'm really excited for. I think Ant-Man might be coming up next in September. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Well, I'm not looking forward to Space Jam because the one thing I hate about soccer is when somebody gets brushed up against the arm and then they fall down and start crying. And then they get a penalty because they pretended they cried. That's what I hate about soccer. And it seems to me that LeBron James has introduced that into basketball. So I'm not interested in Space Jam. Just for that. And that's why one thing you don't find in the sport of bullfighting, nobody does that. They'll get pierced in the rib cage, and they'll be bleeding, and they'll still get out there and finish and not look for any sympathy. So I don't like that. It's turning me off. But you know what's turning me on? The Jungle Cruise. That movie comes out July 23rd. They had a big debut last night. We'll talk a little bit about that, that they had actually at Disneyland. So Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood, continues after this traffic break.
I'm a lover of the pizza, all of the time. I'm a lover of the pizza.
Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. Nobody eats more pizza than I do. So, you know what? Pizza is just a big part of life. I had pizza yesterday for breakfast at Mama's in Los Alamitos. It was, you know, it was breakfast time, but there was pizza on the menu, so I just ordered it. And then I had to go to a one-year-old's birthday party. Right after that, what are they serving? Pizza. Could be worse. Could be a taco truck. Okay, you've heard my rants on Disneyland. This is a show about the entertainment industry. It is the business end of show business. But, you know, Disneyland's part of that. I've had some people complain, hey, don't talk about Disneyland. I don't like Disneyland. But Disneyland is a big part of the entertainment industry in Southern California. And we are actually charged with dealing with the Southern California scene. This is a public affairs show, basically, for this station, for you. You're using the public airwaves. This is AM radio. And so I think Disneyland's a part of that. But let me just get off track a little bit and just try to I think I've influenced what goes on at Disneyland a tiny bit. Either it's me influencing them, or we're just eye to eye on a bunch of things, and I say them on the show, and they happen. So I'm going to try to use that power and say this to everybody who has a party. Enough with the taco man or the taco lady. Okay, I don't know about what happens where you live, Sam, but if you accept the invitations that are extended to you each week, like, hey, you know, my kid's having this, or I'm having that, or we're doing this, you're going to end up with three taco guys a week, 3 to 5. Okay, so you don't take a lot of those invitations because you're busy. You're going to have at least one or two. That's every week. That's, you know, 1 to 20 in a month. That's 4 to 20 taco trucks that you're eating at. Not a taco truck. Let me put those aside. A taco man. The taco man or the taco lady that sits there and has a cart and makes tacos. Asada, pollo, pastor. It's enough with that, okay? I realize it's an inexpensive and tasty way to serve a lot of people, but enough with it. Everybody's seen the taco person. If you're trying to do something different for this party, don't have a taco person. It's over. It's over. And guess what? There's so many taco people. Some of them are really bad at it. And I don't mean it's not that hard to make a good taco, but it is very easy to make a filthy taco full of fungus or whatever makes you sick. So how many taco, I don't know, you'd like to live in the big city up there and you getting any taco invitations, Sam?
I fail to see any problem with taco invitations.
Yeah.
I love every
typical
taco
white,
invitation.
Typical
I
white
get.
BS.
Every day could be Taco Tuesday if you
yeah.
ask me.
Yeah, and white people are the problem because they're so thrilled and enamored, and they've fetishized this taco to such a point that everybody thinks they're really cool for having a taco truck. Enough with the taco truck.
Well, I mean, there's also like those food trucks that have like the gourmet food with it. So yeah. Do you count that in the mix as
no.
far as taco trucks?
When I say taco truck, I misspoke. Taco man. The taco man comes. He's got a cart. He's got a grill or this pan thing that heats up, and he makes tacos right there. And he's got tortillas. He's got rice and beans maybe. That's enough with that.
How do you feel about the bacon-wrapped hot dog guy?
Never a fan. Never a fan, ever, ever, ever. If you're eating the bacon rack hot dog guy, you're drunk, which is basically you shouldn't be drunk on the streets. And they're not that good. There's always a better restaurant nearby. So, like if you're a kid and you're high or something, you know, I'm gonna eat that bacon rack hot dog right now. I'm gonna love it. Good for you. I don't get myself into that position. I get myself into a position of, oh, there's a restaurant. You know, I mean, I'm going to eat there, and they're going to be the food inspectors come to that restaurant. But the food inspectors don't come to those taco guys. So I love it that it's a cultural thing and that people like it and that people can make a living making bacon wrap hot dogs. It doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean I'm not. There's always something better. So. That's how I feel. I'm just giving you a hard time about white people, but
that's like important stuff that we have to discuss is stuff like that. They're staples of Los Angeles. If you're, into the street and street scene and going out for, into the clubs and everything, those are staples of Los Angeles.
Well, the taco guy used to be a thing. It was only at Mexican parties or Mexican, neighborhood things, and you'd find someone a taco guy, and you give me 50 tacos for $350. You're feeding 50 people for $350. Then it became a suburban white people thing, and now you can't find a taco guy for less than $800. So fine, it's over. And if you're gonna have one, don't think it's cute. It's not cute. I realize it might be the least worst alternative, but it's not cute. How about the hamburger and hot dog man? He comes and makes hamburgers and hot dogs. What happened to that guy? Well, he never was there because people would just make their own hamburgers and hot dogs, but they don't want to. I get it. I had a hamburger and hot dog truck at a party I went to yesterday. That was a terrible hamburger. So I'm just kind of mad all the way around. And so I ate the pizza yesterday. I guess that's where this all started. All right. Where were we before I ruined
Jungle
this radio
Cruise.
Show? Jungle Cruise. Last night at Disneyland, they had a big premiere. They showed the Jungle Cruise at the Outdoor Fantasyland Theater. And for several distinguished invitees, your host not being one of them, but I had to go to a birthday party anyway. But that big party, they shut down part of the park. And it looked like they had in the audience, they had a lot of Jungle Cruise captains in the audience, and they had The Rock, and they had the lady. What's the lady's name?
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. Thank you for pulling that name. They were all there, and seemed like a big, fun event. But so Jungle Cruise, July 23rd, coming out a year after it was supposed to come out. So I don't. Normally I would say, wow, that's going to have the big box office. But the box office is, suffering a little bit from the COVID. When we come back, we're going to talk about Eric Clapton and his COVID controversies on Joe Escalante Live from Hollywood.
Music.
Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. The business end of show business on KEIB AM 1150 every Sunday. Live on AM radio for 2 hours, and then you get the podcast later in the day if you want to listen to it that way. So when we broke, we were talking about, movies, COVID kind of taking a bite out of the movie box office again, and concerts. You saw the Foo Fighters had to finally cancel their engagements. There's still a lot of concerts going on. And I have a few booked. I don't know if they'll actually take place, but they're like kind of in the 5,000 person range. But now we have a Eric Clapton story. Eric Clapton has said he will not play a show if they demand that someone has to have a vaccine to get into the show. He finds that offensive and undemocratic. And he's not going to stand for it. These kind of things, and I see this, the article that you sent me is designed to vilify him and get people to hate him. Basically, this is an LA Times opinion piece.
That specifically just because I wanted to get your opinion of the other person's opinion.
Yeah, the person's opinion was so strong. It's just like no one needs it. It's like somebody... If somebody's going to write a hate piece with that much hate, you end up like it's a waste of time to read it because you got to check everything that they're saying because the bias is so strong. You're like, okay, I get it. You hate this guy. You disagree with them. So you're going to write the most slanted thing that you can, and it's not really worth reading. It'd be better to have a more balanced thing because the guy is controversial. He may be a kook. I don't know. Can't tell from this LA Times article because this person is quite possibly the same kind of kook, but on the other side of the spectrum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And these kind of stories are a little silly because when it comes down to it, you know, it's like the Foo Fighters. Yeah, this big story, say, oh, you're going to have a vaccine, digital vaccine proof or something to get into somewhere. And then when it comes down to it, it's like, or you can just go down the street and get a COVID test, and if you're negative, you can come in. And that's what happened with the Foo Fighters thing. It's going to happen with all these things, you know? And if you have a negative test, is a negative test better or worse? Do you think safer? Like someone comes in and they just had a negative test. Is that person more or less likely to give you COVID than someone who says has a digital vaccine passport? That's a question for you, Engineer.
Well, considering that there's some breakthrough cases of people who have the vaccine, I know people who got the vaccine and caught it. They can pass it on to other people. It's just their symptoms aren't going to be as strong, so they're not going to need to go to a hospital to deal with it. But yeah. People who are vaccinated may not, they can still apparently carry it. And some of those vaccines were only like 95% effective, which is still really effective, but five people out of 100 are going to still be able to catch it.
Yeah. So if that guy comes in and you've vaccinated, because I guess what people are worried about, they're worried about someone giving them COVID. And if you have a vaccine, if you have a vaccine and you go there, do you want it to make it so everybody has to have a vaccine card to get in here? You'd be safer if you just said everyone has to have a negative test to come in here. You'd be much safer. But then you have to allow for the false, the false readings on these tests could be. I don't know what the rate of false readings are, but you'd be better off with everybody having a negative test than everybody having a vaccine card. So demanding that everyone have a vaccine card and only a vaccine card, and that's the only thing, seems foolish. So that's why when it comes down to it, these concerts never take place. None of these events take place where it's you have to have a vaccine card. That's just an attempt to – it could be. I mean, maybe I'm just thought of this. It seems like that's an attempt to exclude certain people. Like we don't want people that aren't going to get a vaccine because those are people we don't want to play with. And so we don't want them in our club and we don't want to be in the same room with them, even though they might be safer than someone in our club, but we really just don't want them in our club. We don't want them near us. So that's why these articles are stupid. And this this article was just an exercise in someone telling someone how much they hate someone. And then so I had to go check a bunch of stuff in it. And I go, oh, wow, this is a lot of weird stuff about this guy. I wonder if it's true. But you know what? I didn't need to know it. And I'm sorry I read it. And for people that don't read the LA Times, they're always better off. Now let's go to the Tokyo Olympics, Sam.
Gotta love the Olympic opening games. I'm a big fan of them. Huge fan of the opening ceremonies. That's my big thing. And this year, ratings for the opening ceremonies were way down.
Yeah, way down. I watched it. I mean, I was just, you know, I'm just working on this TV show, so I never stop. Now, a little break. I go, okay, oh, you know what? The Peacock is going to show something or whatever. So I turn on the Peacock app and to see how this is the Peacock app's big chance, their second chance to be a successful app. The first chance, their launch didn't go so well. But with the Tokyo Olympics are now on, so it's their second chance, second bite at the apple. And so they're showing things, and you can, if you watch it on Channel 4, you got one feed and they're just showing you that. But if you go over to the Peacock app, you can click on these things. Would you like to watch boxing for today? Would you like to watch gymnastics for today? All that kind of stuff. If it's a really good sport, you got to pay. But there's some stuff on there that you don't have to pay for. And then you got Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart doing their things. Unwatchable, by the way. You want to check it out? I defy you to get through the first 3 minutes of Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart introducing and hosting or whatever they're doing with the Olympics on Peacock. Whoa, unwatchable. But I did. And then I watched the opening ceremonies that way. And then, you know, I'm working. I just kind of kept it on in the background. And I watched it again. It's a lot of. It's like a halftime show from 30 years ago on NFL to me. It's like it hasn't changed. It's a bunch of like, you know, the athletes parading in. I love that. I think that's great. And then they start going. Now we're gonna. Some avant-garde artist from our some poet laureate or something is going to come on and dazzle you with their super avant-garde artistic interpretive dances, you know, something like that. And that's hard to watch.
Some of them have been outstanding. China back in the day did one of the most incredible opening ceremonies I've ever seen. I liked a lot of them. Some of them were outstanding. This one, I guess I'm part of that crowd where the desire to just watch anything that's sports has gone down. Just ratings across the board for all sports are just way low.
Okay, that's one opinion of why the Tokyo Olympics have dropped to the viewership have dropped to a 33-year low. That's the one opinion is
I'm
that
sure
all sports are
multiple reasons
down.
For it, but I think that might be one of them.
Might be one.
General
of all, well, that's one of them for sure. All sports are
going
down.
On.
Here's the other one, and I because I was thinking, I wonder what it is. I go, I wonder if it's like because people think that the Olympics have become woke and the athletes are taking a knee or they're turning around or they're saying they don't support the country that they're representing. And I go, well, let me look in this article about the on Yahoo. On Yahoo, the article about the ratings. So I looked at it, and then I looked at the comments, which you should never do in your life. But I did look at them. Every single one of them was, I will not watch the Olympics because it's woke, because of social justice, because it's they disrespect our flag. I'm scrolling down here. I couldn't find one that said anything other than this. Some of them had some very good analysis of the ratings, and then at the end they would say, it's too much into politics. Hyper-politicized. The Emmys have done the same thing too. Like if it wasn't just like people who were haters, it was some people who were just like, it's too political. So it went from too political to I will not watch these spoiled brats that disrespect the flag. Every single comment, every single one. I was scrolling down. I never got to one that didn't. I can push the show more comments and go to the next page. But every one of them, just you go woke, you go broke.
The thing that I've noticed is that there's a lot of people that are actively rooting against, like, the women's soccer team from the United States. And these are Americans that are rooting against their own countrymen. It's
They want them to fail. Like, they want them to.
This is where we've gotten
they
to.
Want,
it's like
they
we're
want
no
them
longer
to fail.
Supporting
they want
each other
say, like,
as a country.
You
we're
don't,
just rooting
you don't,
against
you don't,
each other
you don't
because
respect this country.
Of politics.
We don't respect
and
you.
That's a joke.
That's their thing. That's not my thing. I watch them. I root for them. But there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different views in the country. Everybody has different views, and there's a large part of the country who are just sick and tired of people hating on the country. They're sick and tired of it, and so they don't want to be reminded of it. And where they're, it's all over corporate America, and that's, you know, just the way it is because the people that are in charge of corporate America, they have these values, fine. But it's in sports. It's all over. It's right on the screen. It's everywhere. It's and that was the place where these people thought they could get away from politics and lectures, and it was a place where patriotism was welcome, and now it's gone. And so they're mad. So they're not watching. And I know a lot of people. I'm not this way. I still watch things. They're not gonna, you know, I don't care. Doesn't make any difference to me what they do, but I got friends that just will not. I go, hey, did you watch the game today? I will not watch the game, Joe. You don't understand. I will not watch the game. Okay. All right. But there's a lot of them. And you're right. They do want the soccer team to lose. And, you know. Oh, well, what can we do about that?
American pride.
All right. What do we got next? Let's take a break and we'll come back with something even more amazing than low ratings for the Olympics. Live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. Business end of show business every Sunday from 5 to 7. KEIB AM 1150. Sam, where are we going right now with this roller coaster
of a television
show?
There's
a
lot of ways we could go, but this one story stood out for me. Dr. Dre is going to be paying $300,000 a month in spousal support.
Interesting. Wow. That means he did very well.
I mean, he is a billionaire because of Beats by Dre and all of the stuff that he's done. So it's definitely, you know, chump change for him. But still, $300,000 a month, that's like, what, $3.6 million a year.
Yeah, well, she's accustomed to this lifestyle. She stood by him while he engaged in shenanigans, and she gets her piece of it.
They were married for 24 years, have two adult children. Yeah, she's been around for all of it.
Yeah, so she deserves it. Good for him for making enough money to be able to cut her loose with a paycheck like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see. Yeah, amazing. It's
now, what
only
about,
a fraction
Erica,
of the $2 million per month that was requested from the court in 2020. She was going to go for $2 million a month. That's $24 million a year just to not be with someone.
That's what she asked for?
Yes.
All right. So she got ripped off.
She got shortchanged.
Yeah.
Also, another fun story. James Brown, finally, the family settles the estate battle after 15 years.
Yeah, that's interesting to you. But to me, it's just a bunch of families fighting over that. And I'm happy it's settled, but I don't care.
How does an estate battle go that long, get drawn out for that long? I'm telling you,
we don't want to go into
the thing that
it's
would
boring.
Extend it or make stuff
it's
like
15 years
that
of boredom.
Happen.
What about Erica and Erica Jane and Girardi? Are they still in the news or are they?
They've had the cast members grilled Erica Jane over
the
embezzlement scandal,
right?
Asking where the money is.
Yeah, they're pretty they're. It is a black mark on the show, you know, and it affects all their livelihoods because now we think of that show as disgusting, lying people who steal money from plane crash victims. And that's what comes to mind. That hurts. That rubs off on everyone in that cast. Terrible, terrible. So, yeah, they're mad. I do have a little bit of news on that I found out on my own because I do a little of my own, you know, investigative reporting on this show. Is Tom Girardi's claim that he has dementia, He's so his defense to all this, look, I got dementia. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I can't be held responsible because I lost my mind. And then that is a defense that people use all the time. I actually, from a person that I know who used to work for him, got a phone message from him. He was clearly out of his mind. He has lost it. So after hearing this first-person account, I believe Tom Girardi, the lawyer accused of stealing all the money from his clients, the plane crash victims, and giving it to his wife, Erica Jane, on the star of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, officially has real dementia. And so he's a sick man, and he doesn't know what's going on. And you know what? When you get involved with
a message,
materialism, it can be a curse. You're opening since it's Sunday, I'm gonna take it to the Sunday subjects. You have to be detached from materialism to have a happy life. If you have an unholy attachment to materialism, it is a way for bad things to happen to you, for Satan to get into your life, for misery to come in. And I believe that's what happened to Tom Girardi. He had an unholy attachment to materialism and pleasures of the flesh. And like I've said before, if your whole life is dedicated to your passions and your lust, you can't hear what God is trying to say to you. And God is trying to say something to you, and he's trying to give you a positive message to lead your life. And if you're too focused on your passions and lust, you won't hear it. And that this guy didn't hear it, and he just became more and more attached to sex and money and material things and jets, and you know she's sucked it all out of him. Also, she could have at any moment she could have said, "Let's not spend this amount of money on a glamour squad and all this stuff." She didn't do that, but I think she. In her defense, I think she thought he had more money than he had because he probably lied to her and said, "I'm a very macho man. I'm very attractive. Don't leave me. I make all kinds of money. This is chump change to me. Go ahead and have all that stuff and compete with the girls on your TV show." But that is, you know, I don't care what religion you are. Show me a religion where that isn't a... you know, isn't preached every Sunday, and people don't listen to it. So this is Tom Girardi and Erica Jane. Look, I've met them both. They were wonderful people, and look at them now. So, what's next,
well,
Engineer Sam? Or do you want to rebut?
Because we were talking about Real Housewives stars. This is another one. Jen Shah, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. By the way, are they doing Real Housewives of every city? Are we going to get Real Housewives of like Branson, Missouri coming up soon?
Why not?
Seriously.
Real Housewives of Hawaiian
Jen Shah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You need.
You need
Salt Lake City
girls that kind
of
know each other, and they have to be beautiful.
A telemarketing fraud scheme, according to the feds.
Who did that?
Jen Shah of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Oh, Salt Lake. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those guys look a little bit creepy. You got to screen these people on these TV shows. You got to screen them. We're talking about Salt Lake City, and maybe that's good for the show. You got a crime. I know that the ones back east, like the mob wives and stuff like that, yeah, they were going to jail and stuff. It's probably good for their ratings.
But this one, they were targeting elderly people nationwide in telemarketing schemes, trying to get them to invest in dubious online projects and bogus business schemes and stuff like that for about 9 years, according to the indictment.
Sam, how do you expect them to get that scam going if you can't focus on the elderly? I mean, you're asking for the impossible. It's like, oh, there was this scam was focused on the highly educated, and the very aware and the very sharp. no, you got to find people that are nuts. You got to that have adult onset dementia. And that's the only way you can make these scams work. So, well, you know, if you're going to have a scam, that's what you're going to do. And then, but plane crash victims. Oh, my gosh. If you've seen the Hulu Tom Girardi special, they show a guy, he's burnt. He's burnt up. Skin's all burnt. And He's one excuse after another from Tom Girardi. I can't give you your money. You know, he's making up lies. The mediator says it shouldn't give it to a kid. You know, I don't know. It's coming. Don't worry. And you never got it. You're never going to get it either. All right. I think it's time to take a break, isn't it? It's 1 hour.
Got about 30 seconds.
Okay. So when we come back, what do we got?
We got Bill O'Reilly trying to stop accusers from appearing on The View. Bon Jovi, Henley called into antitrust issues, and Jim Belushi, and a whole bunch more.
Bill O'Reilly case is very interesting. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. One more hour after this. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. By Hollywood, you mean Burbank. This is the business end of show business every Sunday on KEIB, AM 1150, from 5 to 7. It's AM radio. Congratulations to you listening to AM radio. Woo, it's free. So is the podcast. You can check that out later. It'll be just like this, but all condensed, no commercials. Actually, there's a commercial at the beginning, and... And yeah, there might be one in the middle. I don't know. You think I listen to a podcast on my own show? No. I haven't done that for a long time. But you used to have to do that. Air check. You got to do an air check. Listen to your own voice for every day. Oh, that was terrible. Okay. Sam, you were telling me that we were talking about last hour, M. Night Shyamalan. Hope I got his name right. His name of his new movie, I said it was the worst titled movie ever. Old.
Yeah.
It's called Old. That's pretty bad. It's negative. It's too short. But you've got another one for me.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking around, and Jordan Peele has been on his game as far as movies go, putting out horror movies. His next horror movie has a name that might be, well, depending on how you look at it, worse than Old. It's called Nope.
Nope. Well, I'll tell you, when I first heard that its name was Nope, this movie was Nope, I go, what a terrible name. And then when I heard about Old, I thought Nope was a pretty good name. Tom Gunn, you know what, that's, if Old is the alternative, Nope is pretty good, because Nope is not as negative, even though it is by definition a negative word. Old is just a bad, I mean, just nobody wants anything to do with it. But Nope is like nope to dope. That's kind of positive in a way.
Well, and there's also whenever people nowadays see something scary, they'll post comments on like scary videos or a video of a giant snake or something that they're afraid of. And they'll just put Nope. I'm noping pretty hard right now and stuff
and
like that.
Yeah,
I Nope. Everything. I'm terrified of so many things.
Yeah, so I actually think this one's okay. But,
yeah, no,
but
I like it. And plus, Peele has not had as many failures as far as films go as Shyamalan has. So it makes it so that he has the cachet to pull that off way more so than M. Night.
He could call his movie Old and it might be successful.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the other
for
guy,
sure.
Old, oosh. I did like that Shyamalan, he had a special screening of Jaws at the Alamo this summer. Actually,
that's
I think it's Monday or Tuesday. I think it's Monday, a screening of Jaws in the theater at the Alamo. And I wanted to go, but it sold out. I missed out on that because I would love to see Jaws in the theater right about now. I'm in the mood for it. But whoever got tickets, if you have any leftovers, let me know. All right, where are we going now?
Bill O'Reilly, you know, haven't heard him in the news. He's kind of gone on his own since Fox News. He is looking to stop an accuser from appearing on ABC's The View.
Yeah, this is interesting because there's free speech, notions of free speech involved, and also freedom of contract. The idea being that this woman signed an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, and she took some money for that. And then a lot of the people, especially in the Me Too era, they kept saying, well, we want new laws so that we can declare these unenforceable, because they, you know, why should we, you know, we why should we be gagged? We have a right to tell these stories of these horrible things that happened to us. And that sounds good. And when your emotions are running high, you think, wow, that yeah, you go, girl. Why? I mean, let the girl speak. But on the other hand, you also have to have the right to be able to contract. Now, once you declare those things invalid, now, let's say you want to make a contract like that. You want to be paid $9 million to shut up and walk away. Or if someone says, hey, we're gonna fire you, and I'm going to tell everybody in the world that you're a terrible person to work for, to have working for you. And you say, well, I won't do that. No, I won't do that. I promise. Don't say those things. Well, if you promise to sign, okay, I'll tell you what, if I won't say anything bad about you, because nobody's perfect, I won't say anything bad about you, you don't say anything bad about me. Okay, so the woman is presented with that, and she's like, okay, I won't say anything bad about you, you don't say anything bad about me, we walk away. And for that, I want $9 million. Okay, this woman has the right to enter into that agreement or not. But by making these rules and saying that these things are unenforceable, you're denying that woman the opportunity to make that deal. No longer does she have that right and that opportunity. She doesn't have it because someone decided that they wanted to break there, so they declared them invalid. Now no one will sign one of those. They won't offer those. That won't be on the table. Does that sound good to you, Sam?
Well, it sounds like she was outing someone who was sexually harassing her, and it sounds like, you know, she didn't necessarily want it, but it does make it so that down the line, a lot of these deals don't get made, which could be a good thing because it just holds more people accountable instead of sweeping things under the rug.
So so you're advocating the position that when someone says, yeah, I would like to make a deal with you, I would like you not to talk about me, and I will not talk about you, and I would like you to give me $9 million. I'm not giving you $9 million. You're giving me $9 million, and we promise not to move on.
No, so what I'm saying is I would like for that $9 million deal to not even exist, and for that woman not to have that choice. If somebody is sexually harassing someone, that they get held accountable and not be able to sweep it under the rug with money.
Well, okay, but you're advocating that they don't have that choice. That woman does not have that choice. That's what you're advocating.
I feel like they can have the choice, but not be forced into it.
Well, no, I mean, how do you establish that someone is forced into it? You know, that's like, none of this can be done. And that's also, sexual harassment is a, you know, it's a gray area in many cases where people say, hey, look, we don't want this. We just want to pay this person, and everybody wants to go their separate ways. The person doesn't have to take that. Now, if that person is forced into something, that's a violation of a different rule. We have laws on the books that, you know, that's called like extortion.
Yeah.
But if someone is of their free will, wants to make a deal like that, now they can. So what this woman was doing with O'Reilly is she's advocating a world where you wouldn't have that choice anymore, and no one would ever sign these. So that's something for people to think about, whether that's the world you want to live in. So the judge, it looks like, is leaning towards O'Reilly because he scared that girl and said, don't do anything that will violate your contract, and show up in court tomorrow and with proof, some kind of proof that this should be that I should deny this. You have to have an argument why I should deny this. It looked like he was leaning towards granting this restraining order and preventing her from being on that show unless she came and said and gave a reason to tell the judge why this contract shouldn't be honored. And then said, what are you and don't do anything that will break the contract. And so then the View canceled the appearance. So
it worked.
Because I think the judge is saying that these are valid. I mean, and either these are either, you know, valid enforceable contracts that adults can enter into, or you have the government saying, well, there are some contracts that we're going to do. we're going to help you by not allowing you to freely enter into a contract. We're going to do you a favor. And that's, you know, most people say, you know, I don't need a favor like that from the government that, that keeps me from getting $9 million. Most people think that. But you got to be thinking about everybody, not just yourself and these things. And then why do you have to go on The View? You know? It's I mean, I get it, but, you know, don't sign this thing. You, everyone is free to just go out and scream from the top of the mountain about getting harassed in the workplace. But we all know there's intimidation, but this is an agreement. Someone signed. And it might be terrible. I'm not saying what he did was not terrible. She might have been intimidated into signing that thing. But, and it might have been terrible that she did. Now, is she going to give the money back that she took as a settlement?
That I didn't see. If she's, that would, I think, be the thing that would make it so that, you know what, I don't want this money. You can have it back. I'm gonna spill out all the beans. That I can see. But yeah,
I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah.
To say like, hey, you want to give this money back and tell everything because that's what you think is the right thing to do. I'm going to let you, even though it might be legally unfair for the other side, say, hey, we relied on this and blah, blah, blah. But that would be something where kind of a compromise. All right, bring the money back. And then you could have a GoFundMe and say, I'm going to raise the money. If you want to know the crazy things that Bill O'Reilly did, you donate, for everybody who donates $100,000 gets a free T-shirt. Raise the $9 million back if you spend it, and then give it back to Bill O'Reilly and spill the beans. Make a movie, make another $9 million. There's many ways out of this without ruining contract law. I think that's my point. All right, let's take a break and we'll check the traffic. I'm dying to know what's going on in the traffic on a Sunday night in Los Angeles freeways. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood.
With a knife and fork, my donkey walk, my donkey talk, my donkey eat with a knife and fork. Ding-a-lay-o. Come, little donkey, come. Ding-a-lay-o. Come, little donkey, come. My donkey eat, my donkey sleep, my donkey eat.
Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. The business end of show business. Every Sunday from 5 to 7 at KEIB. All right, Sam. Where were we?
We are about to go into the story about John Bon Jovi, Don Henley, and several others are called antitrust co-conspirators.
Oh, yeah. This story is about, there's a company called Global Music Rights. I think that's what it is. And it's owned by... God, what's the guy's? Do you have the article in front of you? I'm going to pull it up again.
I do. I'm looking for the guy's name right now.
His nickname
Azoff.
Is the Poison Dwarf. But I always forget his real name because his nickname is so, you know, evocative. He's the manager. He's a great manager. I mean, I'm talking, this is a great manager. But his name always gets away from me.
That's Irving Azoff.
Yeah, Irving Azoff. Irving Azoff. Great manager. Legendary manager. What he did is he started his own performance rights society. You have ASCAP and you have BMI. And he thought, well, hey, I control or manage some of the biggest stars in the history of music. So why don't I start my own performance rights? Because you have to have, if you have a radio station, you need a license from BMI and you need a license from ASCAP and you need one from CSAC, which is like a third one, smaller, but still pretty substantial. In order to play all the songs that are out there, you need all three licenses every year. If you're a restaurant and you want to play music over your sound system, you need all three licenses. So a stadium, all three licenses. That's why when President Trump, you know, plays, you can't always get what you want from a stadium. They've already paid a blanket license to all three of those organizations. And so you can play anything you want virtually, and the artist can't do anything about it because they've already signed up for this blanket license. Unless they opt out of that blanket license, then you'd have to go individually license them to play their music in your venue. And that would be kind of crazy for the bands to do that and the publishers because people would just – they wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't play your songs, and you wouldn't end up on these surveys, and you wouldn't get these checks that come magically every quarter. So nobody does that. But then Irving Azoff said, why don't I take some of the biggest stars in the world, and I'll put them in a – new company, and then that company will be so big that, that people will have, like, I've got Bruce Springsteen in this company. Okay. I've got Fleetwood Mac in this company. I've got Drake in this company. I've got Eddie Vedder. I've got Glenn Frey. I've got the Eagles. I've got Bon Jovi. I've got, you see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
You know, I'm leaving out a big one, but Pharrell. And who's the Hawaiian guy?
Don Ho.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like your Don. Your you know, the Hawaiian, the biggest, like, he's not playing Hawaiian music. He's playing, you know, hip hop.
Don Ho.
No, it's not Don Ho. Don Ho doesn't really write his own music. How do I know? Because I still get royalties from my uncle's song, Sweet Someone, who Don Ho had a hit with. It's Don Ho's second biggest hit. Okay. You know the Hawaiian guy. It's hard when you're
old. I don't. I'm spacing completely.
The guy, it was Pharrell Williams, and he was in the lawsuit. Post Malone they have in this organization, the global music rights. So they're saying, you have to come to us too. And so what this legal, and this kind of throws a monkey wrench into everything. And if you're an ASCAP or a CSAC person, you don't like this because everything was going well until this happened. But he's got Childish Gambino. So now you got to worry about, everybody's got to worry about three organizations. Now, four organizations. There's also a fourth one called AllTrack. I'm going to let you know. There's a third one, fourth one called AllTrack, or fifth one, I guess that would be. AllTrack, that'd be like if you're a brand new artist and you're going on CD Baby, you can sign up with their Performance Rights Society and they'll make you money. Full disclosure, I own part of that one. Okay. So what happens is, I remember the guy's name. His name is Bruno Mars. He's a Hawaiian artist. I don't know if you knew that.
I had no idea he was from the islands.
Yes, he's Hawaiian. The little volcano. What's going on is these guys are saying, if you want to play our music, you got to pay a ton of money. And there's an organization called the Radio Stations of America or whatever. You probably have it right there in front of you in the article. But
the Radio Music License Committee.
Yeah, the Radio Music License Committee, they represent 10,000 radio stations. So they're the body that says, hey, okay, we'll pay you because we know you got to pay you, but you got to pay similar to what the other guys pay, you know, relative to the amount of songs you have. And they go, nope, we want a giant amount. And so they've been in court for a long time. Because the radio stations say radio's in bad shape. I don't know if you know that. Have you checked your bank account lately, Sam? Radio is in bad shape. And these guys, they say, that organization says, these guys are going to be the final nail in the radio coffin. So what you're hearing now on over the airwaves, it's going to be gone. And, actually, what you're hearing will be talk radio is probably all there will be. There won't be any music because they won't be able to afford to pay for these songs. Now, you can have a radio station, you know, that doesn't have Billy Idol, doesn't have Boz Scaggs, doesn't have Bruno Mars, doesn't have Bruce Springsteen, doesn't have Brandon Flowers, doesn't have Chris Cornell. You can have all that, but it's not going to, you know, now you're talking about a substandard operation and a product that's not that great. John Lennon is in this group. So you notice their bands aren't. It looks like it's just the individual members and other songs that they like. It's got every member of Metallica except for Robert Trujillo in here, and on this list I'm looking at, but they don't have Metallica. So this is like him signing up all these people outside of their bands. But anyway, it's an impressive group of people, and the idea to me is just like he putting this together, and he gave all these people shares in this company. So they're signing in so they can have shares in a company because this company is going to be sold. It's a catalog that's going to be sold. And when it's sold, it's going to be a big number. And these guys are all going to get a big piece of it. So these, so the organization, the radio station organization saying, hey, that's shenanigans. These guys are getting together to fix prices. And that's an antitrust violation. When people get together and they say they're going to decide how much people have to pay for their product so there's no competition, that, they're arguing, is an antitrust violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act against unfair competition. And they might be right. They might be right. So these guys are all being named as conspirators in an antitrust lawsuit, and they might have to testify. So I think the judge is saying, yeah, you got to come in and testify now that you're a criminal or a civil torter. All right.
10 seconds.
It's 6:30. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. We will be back after this. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood you mean Burbank. The business end of show business every Sunday from 5 to 7. We have a little Harvey Weinstein news. Harvey Weinstein was somehow transported magically from New York to Los Angeles. And he's in town, Sam.
Listening live, by the way.
He could be listening live. A lot of people are got that... radio connection in the LA County Jail. I imagine that's where he's at. So that's crazy. And what's he facing?
4 counts of rape and 7 other sexual assault counts. He is denying all of them. He has pled not guilty in an LA courtroom on last Wednesday.
He's innocent until proven guilty. But he's gross. Can we all say it? Wait a second. He's not in Los Angeles. He's on Skype.
Well, no, it says he's in LA for it. Who knows? He's somewhere in California.
Oh, he's in California.
Yeah, he was serving 23 years in prison in New York, so they brought him over here. He's now waiting a second trial possibly more time added to a sentence.
It's just incredible. So many rich people. Again, another guy who was had an unholy attachment to the physical, the pleasures of the flesh. And look at him. I mean, these people end up like this. It doesn't go anywhere good. Who was the other guy we were talking about last hour? Tom Girardi. Tom Girardi and Harvey Weinstein in another era just a couple years ago could have been at the same party, and I'm sure they were. They probably were, because they were both – this is another way both these people operated. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars given to the Democratic Party. And I don't mean that the Democratic Party is, you know, guilty of anything. But they were trying to prop up women's issues, or prop themselves up as supporters of women's issues, and to mask the sins they were committing against women. So they that was one of the ways they got to the point where they got, was giving to the right causes. So it was like, Harvey's a very gross. I know he's a lech, but he just, you know, bought a table for $50,000 at this pro-choice event. So, you know, what are you going to do? Just look the other way. And that's how they operated. And Girardi was the same way. It's gross. All right. What about the other rotten apple that we have to talk about today?
Well, not so much a rotten apple as just kind of a silly situation, I guess. Chris Hansen, the old host of To Catch a Predator, yeah, he addressed the bench warrant, called it a miscommunication, said it was all silliness. He had some legal issues over the last few years, and now he had a bench warrant for failing to appear in court. So it's kind of ironic that the guy that was known for To Catch a Predator then had a bench warrant out for him.
Yeah, everybody thinks this is great, and it is kind of funny, and it's weird what happens to people and how he gets himself in a position. And I guess the original thing was, if it was he stole some stuff, or I don't even believe that. Like some, there's some, I believe that's probably a misunderstanding about what got stolen, or, you know, I had a friend whose kid just like grabbed a Groot out of a Disney store. While he had it, and then he picked him up and said, come on, we got to go. And as a kid, he had to hold him, and he carried him out, and he carries him on, carrying him down almost to another land, and realizes the kid's got a Groot. You know, it's probably a little $30 Groot. You know, you never know. But Chris Hansen, yeah, he's not a rotten apple. He's a great American, would you say?
Anybody that hosts To Catch a Predator and goes out of their way to bust people who are that dastardly, yeah, that's an American hero.
He's a great American. What else we got? Oh.
Now on to a slightly more dastardly people. R. Kelly. The feds asked a judge to include new sex assault charges and bribery accusations against R. Kelly at the trial. It's stacking up.
So as I understand it, he is he was bribing someone, or someone on his team was bribing someone to find out what dirt they had on him. Is that correct?
Pretty much. There was a Cook County clerk in Illinois
that got
$2,500 to get inside information about some of the dirt that the feds had against R. Kelly. This is ugly.
Well, they're supposed to disclose whatever they have against him, but you know, maybe strategies or things like that he was looking after. But that's another one. This is the theme of the day. People who are addicted to pleasures of the flesh. Hey, who doesn't like pleasures of the flesh?
There's other allegations in this. Unlawful imprisonment, hush money payments, psychological and threats, abuse, everything. The charges against R. Kelly are stacking up.
But they're all sex related. Am I right? They're all sex slave,
sex trafficking, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was known for back in the day marrying Aaliyah, and Aaliyah was only 15 years old at the time. They traveled to somewhere in the Caribbean, got married, and that was long ago. That was back in 1994. So his exploits have been well known.
This is the theme: is in the end, your parents and your spiritual directors were right. Just go easy on this stuff, and everything in moderation. And, you know, you won't end up like R. Kelly. He's in prison. Tom Girardi, he's going to prison. Harvey Weinstein, he's in prison.
Do you think, look at it. We were talking about Bill Cosby, how he just got out and he's keeping the flame going and everything like that. Do you feel like had the defense that you came up for Bill Cosby, had he just fallen on the sword right off the bat, he would still be working today? Do you think that same logic applies to R. Kelly, considering it's involving underage sex trafficking?
No. R. Kelly, his stuff is, these are unforgivable acts, because they involve exploitation of children. And the other ones are, they're gross, they're adults. There's part of us that think, I think he was wrong in what he did, of course, and it's gross, but they're a part of us. I think people, the general public that are like, well, there's a difference between some guy exploiting children and then some guy getting the women up to his room and drugging them. It's terrible, but I think you could be forgiven for that if you came clean, and you, especially with someone as persuasive as Bill Cosby. He could make a good case to say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I had this showbiz thing. I need forgiveness. I'm giving all my money to these women causes or the victims. Take it. I'm going to take the committee of the victims, and they're going to go through my money and my assets and decide what they get and what I get, because I don't deserve to have anything. I think that's how you do it. And then you're working instead of right now. He's just, you know, he's a pariah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There's another story we have. is there's a movement going, you know, that we have the Me Too movement. We have BLM. We have these movements, and they've emboldened people to speak out. And now what we have, according to the Daily Beast news place, there is a movement of assistants in Hollywood who are saying we're mistreated, we work too hard, we don't make enough money, and we can't even live, you know, we can't do anything. You know, they're making $16 an hour. One here is making $11 an hour, and their gripes are, you know, no one appreciates what I do, and I work for these people who are so rich. I make $30,000 a year, and my boss is just like, you know, trying to get his kid into a kindergarten that costs $50,000 a year. And the disparity between how much the bosses make and the assistants make, and they're a labor force that is mistreated, underpaid, and the product that they make is so valuable that they're, you know, they're kind of rallying right now. You know, the obvious problem is, well, once, you know, are you going to hire someone, Sam, that's part of this movement? It's gonna be like, wait, you're part of what movement? So it's tough. A lot of these people are speaking anonymously in this Daily Beast article. But, you know, I was in those trenches, and I was definitely mistreated. I don't know if I could say I was underpaid because, you know, I was entry level. But, yeah, mistreated, horribly treated, horribly. And that's what's called Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends that had similar experiences when they were PAs and assistants to executives. They get run through the mud.
Yeah, I was like a PA and an art assistant and on sets and, you know, working for producers, executive producers. And I would be driven to tears because also you're working these long hours. So you're so frustrated and you're so tired, and you're so hungry, and there's such disbelief that people could treat you that way. You start crying and you're wondering how did I get myself in this position? But at the same time, it's Welcome to Hollywood. There's no sign-up sheet that says, okay, I want to be a Hollywood producer, I want to be a Hollywood writer. It's definitely a dues-paying world. But I think these movements are positive because the treatment was so open and it didn't have to be. It's not unjustified. You know, there doesn't have to be a hazing. You know, it should be based on merit. Are you good? Are you a good writer? But they're also complaining about a lot of nepotism, a lot of luck, a lot of chance. One of these assistants said, trying to move up in that world is like constantly trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. And the Jell-O is your career. So I don't know what can be done about it. But other than this kind of awareness, you know, like Scott Rudin getting canceled, I think that helped. He was one of the known major offenders in this kind of world of mistreating assistants. And he's got canceled. He'll probably come back. But I think that lets other people know that you can, especially with the internet and these hashtags, you can it can come back to bite you. So why don't you just try to be nice to people? Treat people as if they're a relative. How would you treat your like niece if your niece was working for you? You got to treat everybody like they're your niece. And that's it. How hard is that? And if you can't handle it and you need someone to yell at and throw phones at, then that's on you. You need to fix yourself. That has nothing to do with your, you know, with incompetence on the other end. That's your incompetence. I hope people will realize that. And that's one way all this stuff can make Hollywood a better place. And then it'll be even harder for these people to get jobs because it'll be so nice and a paradise that everyone will move here to want to be in it. So then we have that problem. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood, our last segment coming up right after the traffic on KEIB.
Joe Escalante is my lawyer. He don't want money. He does it all for you. And he knows what he's talking about. Oh, yes, he knows what it's all about. Joe Escalante.
Joe Escalante here every Sunday from 5 to 7 with the entertainment industry, the business of show business, And you'll get this show again if you download the podcast. So you go to, you know, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Leave a review. You could do that if you wanted to. But what do I care? Everyone's always asking you to leave a review. Tell you what, if you don't want to leave a review, I don't care. I don't care. Hey, did you know Kanye West has a new album coming out?
I heard as much. I haven't heard anything from it, but yeah, I heard he was coming out with something.
He has something. It has a. It's called Donda. D-O-N-D-A. And he had a listening party in Atlanta before a 42,000 sellout crowd. 42,000 people went to a
That's
listening
a lot
party.
Of people.
Okay, doesn't that seem like a big deal?
For an album launch? Yeah, that's insane.
An album listening party, 42,000 paid people?
That's insane.
But nobody knows about it. Because he's not favored with the press. The press doesn't like him. So they don't want to.
I heard
they don't
that news happening. I just. They don't want to. 40-something thousand people showing up for a listening party?
That is huge. Huge. Yeah, but you know, people don't like him.
Well,
or the press
not a Kardashian
doesn't like him,
anymore.
So. Yeah, that's true. Okay. We had one other story. What was that one?
Samsung entering the streaming wars with something that they already kind of sort of had, but are now expanding on. They're launching their TV Plus service. That's something that is already been on Samsung TV since 2016. They're turning it into an actual web-based app so that you can watch TV Plus stuff on your phone.
Well, this is interesting because this is another TV service. This is another streamer, and it's a free app. So if you, I have the Samsung TV. I don't know if you how you feel about your Samsung TV, but I have Samsung. And an LG TV, I bought them relatively close together. The LG one is a disaster. Samsung one is fantastic.
It's yeah, great, I like my Samsung TV. It's product. Been fantastic.
And so I bought another one for my cabin. But I'll never buy another of these LGs. So the Samsung, I've looked a little bit at the stuff on the TV. And you can, you know, they've got shows, kind of like you said, like Pluto. It's kind of like that stuff. It's just stuff, you know. It's another place to watch wacky shows, Anthony Bourdain or stuff like that. Now, but you don't have to have a Samsung. This is another thing. You can download it on your Apple TV or on your Roku or whatever, Android, and you can watch. It's just another thing. It's and they have. I think they're experimenting with some original programming. I'm hearing, and for the purposes of this show, this is another place where you can sell a TV show, right? Nice. More places where you can sell a TV show or you can get a job in a TV program or someone will sell a show and they'll hire you on it. This is all good for people that are interested in the TV business. And I assume if you're watching this or listening to this radio program, I guess you could, if you're a premium member, you're watching it, correct, Sam?
Yeah.
But if you're just a regular member, you're listening to this show. This is good news. This is not just some commercial for Samsung. This is, if there's another streaming service, that's good. If they make original programming, even better. And when Fox Nation came out, I looked at that and I go, I think I can sell them a show. I think that's a place. You know, and you look at these new things and you go, and before, if you can get there before other people are there, you might sell them a show. But if you're like, you know, they're there when new networks come out, they're trying to, you know, they hire someone to go talk to all the talent and in Hollywood. Now, if you can get there before the talent shows up, then you can sell them a show. That's what I did. But Samsung TV, why not?
That TV Plus service isn't bad. It shares a lot of the same content as stuff like Pluto TV and the, I can't remember the name of the service that Apple bought.
Tubi.
I think it was Apple they bought. Or no, Fox bought. And it's a similar kind of service as Pluto TV as well.
Foxbot Tubi, yeah.
Tubi.
That's where my show.
It's
that's where my show will probably end up.
It's basically they share a lot of the same programming.
Yeah, I mean, you what it is you're buying this mechanism that can feed programming into people's houses, and then you, that's the Tubi part and the Pluto part, and then you go out and you find you'll make licensing deals for all the programming, and then these are non-exclusive licensing deals. So if you're getting Petticoat Junction from the Petticoat Junction supplier, someone else is getting that too, and it's going to be a little bit similar. And then you try to get original stuff to differentiate you from the other TV makers. But why not? Oh, here's my tip. Tonight's Sunday. Every Sunday, you know what I do? I watch the Lawrence Welk show on MeTV. Not Lawrence Welk. Ed Sullivan. I watch the Ed Sullivan show on MeTV. That's free on any TV. And you know, there's old acts like the Mamas and the Papas and the Fifth Dimension and Plate Spinners and Jugglers and Puppeteers. It's awesome. K-E-I-B. Super fun. But record it so you don't have to watch their crappy commercials. All right. And I'll leave you with just a taste of the greatest song ever written.